All right, today we got a very special guest. We got 8-year NBA veteran Ronnie Brewer. He's the current recruiting coordinator for the Arkansas Razorbacks men's basketball team. Thanks for coming on, Ronnie. Really appreciate it.
Man, thanks for having me.
Of course. So, Ronnie, correct me if I'm wrong. You played for the Knicks, Grizzlies, Jazz, Thunder, Bulls, Rockets. Are those all the teams you played for?
Yeah.
Awesome. And this is actually really special for me because I remember growing up, seeing you on TV, playing for the Jazz with Darren Williams, obviously on the Knicks with Carmelo Anthony. Bulls with Derrick Rose. So this is really, really special for me. So we'll get started straight away. I'm curious about your early life. You come from Arkansas. A lot of great players coming out of Arkansas. You got Scottie Pippen. You know, your father was in the NBA. And fun fact, actually, he was drafted right after Larry Bird, which is pretty cool. So when did you start playing ball and how did that happen? Was it from your father?
Yeah. I'm the youngest of five kids. And so my dad used to come back to Arkansas and have the Ron Brewer boot camp, which was a annual camp that he threw every year as long as I can remember. And I remember you had to be like in first grade to participate. And so I remember like being in, you know, pre-K, not being old enough to be able to be in the camp. And, you know, my dad saying I was too young that when I got first grade, I'd be able to play. But I literally watched every drill they did and grabbed a basketball and ran to the back of the gym and practiced everything that he was teaching all the campers. So when I was in kindergarten, I was able to jump into camp and play up with the first graders. So that was like my earliest memory of playing. Just my older brothers and sisters were in the camp and I wanted to, you know, be a part of what they were doing. And so, that's really what, to me, which attracted me to basketball, kind of got me my competitive edge is those guys.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if your father is an NBA player, you're surrounded by basketball, you're going to pick it up pretty early. So did you always know you wanted to be a basketball player? Did your parents kind of steer you in that direction?
It's funny that you say that. Growing up, my dad's dad played baseball. My dad loved baseball, and he's pretty good at it. He didn't go professional because he was pretty good at basketball, but he wanted me to be a baseball player. So he was steering me towards baseball, and, you know, I did not like it at all. But I played when I was younger. I played because my friends were playing, but I wasn't passionate about it. So I played that for a long time. And, you know, here we didn't have tackle football until you got in junior high. We had Kiwanis Day, where one day out of the year you had tackle football. We played flag football. And so I enjoyed that. But, you know, ultimately I knew I wanted to play basketball. It was fun to me. I enjoyed the camaraderie, the team bond. And you know, I worked at and became pretty good at it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I also was reading about you too. You suffered a childhood wrist injury that sort of affected your game.
I actually broke my arm in 1994. It was actually going into the 1995 season, and the Razorbacks were trying to repeat. They won the national championship in 94 and my family got invited to go to their annual back to school bash. And, they had it at the lake house in Beaver Lake. And I ended up breaking my arm on a water slide. And the way it set, it allowed me to develop, to shoot the ball naturally. It made it look different than prototypically everybody else's shot, but I worked at it really, really hard. I remember going to a basketball camp at Kansas University. My mentor, Nick Bradford, was there as a student athlete. And I went up there with Cole Fennell. And Roy Williams told me, hey, you know, there's gonna be a lot of people judging your shot. But don't change anything. Make it repetition and continue to make it a habit that you work on your shot. And if it goes in, don't fix it. And so that's what I did. You know, I knew a lot of people were going to say, hey, that's not how you're supposed to shoot the basketball. But if you put enough work in and practice enough and it goes in, it's not really a lot that people can really say about it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you saw with Lonzo Ball, they're going crazy about his shot. They're saying he had to change it. So definitely different story with you. So growing up, is there anyone you specifically modeled your game after, you know, your biggest inspiration on the court?
I mean, you know, just my dad, you know, he obviously taught me the game, but, here in Arkansas, you know, I was a big Scottie Pippen fan.
Absolutely.
Just, I had a TV in my room and we were able to get WGN. And so we got to catch all the Bulls games, as a kid. So I wanted to play just like him because to me, he was like a Swiss Army knife, very versatile, could score the basketball, could defend, could make plays for others. And to me, he was a phenomenal 1-2 punch with Michael Jordan on those championship Bulls teams.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, huge, huge guy coming out of Arkansas. So you get to high school, you went to Arkansas, Mr. Basketball. Was there a point in time, or was that the point in time when you realized you were good enough to make the NBA? When did that click with you?
Well, you know, it was always a goal and a dream of mine. And to be honest, I always just took everything 1 year at a time. I didn't like to look at the ahead. I didn't like to look at the future. And you know, each and every year I wanted to get a little bit better, and the next year just get a little bit better, next year get a little bit better. And so after winning Mr. Basketball, I came in as a freshman. You know, I knew there was a lot of things that I needed to improve on. I had a pretty solid freshman year, but I knew I could grow in a lot of areas. And so I made that jump from my freshman to sophomore year. And I probably could have the opportunity to try to leave school, but decided to come back and had a really good junior year. And I felt like I was one of the better guards in the country. And I pretty much at that time, I knew that I would have a chance to play at the next level.
Absolutely. So after high school, you go to Arkansas. So obviously you're from the state of Arkansas. It makes sense that you go to University of Arkansas. Was there anything that made you commit there?
Well, to be honest, Nolan Richardson had got relieved of his duties. And, you know, he's a legendary Hall of Fame coach. And so when that happened, my recruitment was wide open. You know, like, again, I was going up to Kansas to see one of my mentors play. You know, Oklahoma was really good. Oklahoma State was really, really good. Florida, UConn, all teams that were, you know, wanting me to play at their university. But, you know, Stan Heath came in at Arkansas and his staff and literally outworked and recruited me harder than any school in the country. I mean, every high school game they were there, you know, AAU games were there. I would see them all over the place and they just made me comfortable and feel literally at home. And so, to me, it was an easy choice and it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a win-win, especially you have your family there. They can see you play. Mm-hmm. So after a strong college career, you get drafted by the Utah Jazz with pick number 14 in 06. So obviously, you know, Utah's the most glamorous, not the most glamorous destination compared to, you know, LA, New York, you know, the San Francisco Bay Area. What were your thoughts initially, you know, going from Arkansas to Salt Lake City?
Well, you know, I grew up in Arkansas. I'd never been outside of Arkansas then for road games and AU tournaments. So, you know, when I got to Utah, it was a lot different. But at the same time, you know, I was so blessed to be drafted by a wonderful organization like the Jazz. You know, first class, got to play for legendary Hall of Fame coach Jerry Sloan. Got to play with some phenomenal guys on the team. And, you know, one thing that I could relate is, you know, being from Arkansas, the Arkansas Razorbacks is really the only show in the state. And playing for the Utah Jazz, there's like a line drawn in the state between Utah and BYU. But when it comes to, like, the only show in town, I mean, it's easy to say it was the Utah Jazz. So each and every night that we came out and played, no matter who our opponent was, you know, we had a sellout and the fans were great. So it was a great atmosphere for me. And I don't really take it for granted playing in front of sellouts because you don't necessarily see that in every market each and every game.
Right. And coming from Arkansas to Salt Lake City to Utah. So I assume it was probably easy adjustment for you.
Yeah, it was easy. You know, the people reminded me of people back home. They were nice, friendly. They welcomed me with open arms. And, you know, we also had some pretty good teams while I was played there. So the atmosphere and the vibe was phenomenal, and I wouldn't change anything in the world.
I was going to mention that. I remember you guys in the playoffs, late 2000s, battering the Warriors, Spurs, Lakers. Yeah. You know, I remember, yeah, D. Will, Carlos Boozer, Mehmet Okur. You mentioned Coach Sloan before, and obviously he's a legendary Hall of Fame coach. I did want to ask you, what was your relationship like with him?
Man, it was great. And Coach Sloan believed in me. He drafted me, gave me the opportunity to be a starter in the NBA. You know, that right there is a dream come true. You know, he challenged me every single day to be the best basketball player I could possibly could be. You know, my first day coming in there, you know, he sat me down and was like, hey, man, you know, if you want to play in the league for multiple years, man, you got to carve your niche and do something that people don't do. There's a lot of guys that just shoot the basketball. I mean, I came into after getting drafted 14, I averaged 18.8 points per game leading the SEC. And so in my mind, I was like, well, I'm gonna come to the NBA and do the same exact thing, because that's who I am. Coach Sloan was like, you know, if you want to get on the court, you got to be able to guard somebody and be a defensive stopper. And he challenged me night in, night out to guard the best player on the opposing team. And I took that challenge and, you know, allowed me to play in an NBA for quite some time.
Right. And how big of a transition was, you know, how big of a leap was it between going from college to the NBA? What did you realize was sort of a completely different level?
The players were a lot better. I mean, you feel like you play against really good players in junior high, really good players in high school, really, really good players in college. But when you get to the NBA, and I think that's like a myth that people think, like, oh, man, that dude's trash. He doesn't get to play. But, like, even like the 13th, 14th, and 15th man on the NBA roster are, you know, all conference, all state, all Americans from somewhere. So the speed of the game, how physical the game was, and the skill set was kind of mind blowing, because everybody was really, really good and played major parts on teams.
Right. That reminds me of, I don't know if you remember the Scallions, but Brian Scalabrine. I'm sure you remember him. He played like high schoolers, college players, who like called him out and he like just wiped the floor with them. So, you know, when you really think about it, the last man in the NBA roster is better than 99.9% of people on earth. So going back to your NBA career, you know, you had a good rookie season. You made a huge leap your sophomore year. You made it to the rookie sophomore game at All-Star Weekend. What kind of changed for you?
I just think my role changed. You know, my rookie year, I was used sporadically. You know, some games I wouldn't play at all. Some games I'd play. So it was up and down. But, you know, that summer I challenged myself that, hey, man, like, you're going to have to outwork everybody. You know, you have to get your body, you know, in the best shape it could possibly be. Get stronger, work on your shot, be more confident. And, you know, to me, when I came back to training camp, I think Coach Sloan and the rest of the team in the franchise saw that I made a huge jump from year one to year two. And I just tried to do the same thing. And from year two to year three, so on, so on, so on. So, you know, that's when Coach Stone was like, hey, man, this is going to be our shooting guard. And, you know, I'm going to challenge him to guard the best player each and every night.
Absolutely. So that brings me to my next point. So you made that big leap sophomore year. It's 2008. You play the Lakers. I'm not sure if it's the first or second round, but you're tasked with guarding Kobe Bryant. Now, as an NBA fan, I got to ask, what is that like guarding the Black Mamba?
It's crazy. You know, he was such a skilled basketball player, such a fierce competitor. And to me, you know, it was just a privilege to be able to go through those battles year in, year out. You know, he was so skilled all over the floor that you had your hands you know, basically filled, you know, every time he was in the game, because, you know, in the back of your head, I don't know if other guys did that when they played it, but in the back of your head, to me, like, I always thought, man, this guy is so skilled, he can go out and erupt for 81 points at any given time. He did it before. Yeah. And so that's, you have to be extra locked in. You've got to be on your P's and Q's, you know the game plan, and just force him to try to take as many tough shots as you possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on, just a couple more questions, Ronnie. Jaylen Brown, actually, there's a story a couple years ago where Jaylen Brown kind of had like a moment in the NBA where he was guarding Carmelo, and it just seemed, you know, kind of surreal. And I can just imagine that, you know, as an 18-year-old kid, having posters of these guys on my wall, and then suddenly you're in the NBA, you're guarding them. It's a little surreal. So do you ever have a moment like that where you're guarding someone and you're just like, yo, holy shit, I'm like actually here?
Yeah. Funny story, because, you know, out of high school, I was getting recruited by Florida, and Billy Donovan was the head coach there at the time. And so back when I was playing AU, the AU Nationals were hosted in Orlando at Disney, the Wild World Sports Arena. And Billy Donovan comes to the game to watch me play. And Mike Miller is with him. And, you know, Tracy McGrady comes in and sits with them. And after the game, we take pictures and get autographs from them. And, you know, I had that picture and that autograph on my bulletin board at my house. And then you fast forward years later, my first NBA, real NBA game, you know, I was guarding Tracy McGrady.
Oh, my God.
Playing in the Houston Rockets. So it was very surreal. And at the same time, I was like, man, I finally made it and playing on the big stage.
Yeah, absolutely. I could only imagine that's insane. So I also got to ask this, you know, I'm a New York guy, I got my New York Knicks hat on. So mm-hmm. We appreciate your service in the 2013 season. Now I got to ask, what is it like playing in the Garden?
Man, it's crazy. I mean, it's like holy ground, you know, coming in as a visitor. When you're walking through the hallways and you see all the great things that has happened in Madison Square Garden, you know, concerts, basketball games, boxing matches, tennis. I mean, it's so much thing, so many things that happened at Madison Square Garden. But to actually be that your home arena it was like a dream come true. You know, the fans. You know, when you have things rolling, the fans are some of the best fans in the entire world. And you know that the short stint I had there, we were playing really, really well. Melo was playing really well, and I thought we had a legit good team that I thought we were going to be able to make some noise.
Yeah, I remember that 2013 season. New York was going crazy. You guys won about 54 games, I believe, second seed in the East. So definitely remember that. Now, you've been up to a lot in your post-NBA life. I think you retired in 2014. You had a brief stint in the D-League. You know, you bounced around. You were a high school coach for a little bit. You're currently the recruiting coordinator at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. How'd that happen?
It's kind of crazy because, you know, I had the opportunity. One of my coaches, childhood coaches, Brad Stamps, got the Fayetteville High School job. And he gives me a call and he's like, hey, I want you to interview you for this. I'm going to interview some candidates, but, you know, I really want you and Nick Bradford. And I was like, man, that'd be great to be able to coach under Brad Stamps, who was my coach in junior high and part of high school, but also be able to coach alongside Nick Bradford, one of the guys that I looked up to my whole entire life. And, you know, it was a great job. I was teaching oral communication, coaching basketball. We were winning a lot. And, you know, life was great. I was also coaching AU basketball with the Woods Elite, formerly the Arkansas Wings. And, you know, I could see myself being there for a long, long period of time. But, you know, I was like at an AU event, Peace Jam in Augusta, Georgia. And, you know, I get a call from Coach Musselman, was like, hey, you know, I want you to interview for this job. You know, I think is a great fit for you. You know, not only did you play here at a high level, but you also played in the NBA at a high level. And who better to know about the program, the city, the state, and what it takes to get to the NBA than, you know, myself. And so it's been a match made in heaven so far. You know, we've signed the number two recruiting class in the country, and, you know, hopefully we can continue to do that and continue to get the best players to come to Arkansas. And you know, our team here is so far has been, we've been playing really, really well, you know, currently on a little win streak. And, you know, I just appreciate the opportunity Coach Musselman gave
him. That's a great fit. Now I got two final questions for you, Ronnie.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for young people chasing their dreams? Yeah. And the second question is, who's your pick for this year's NBA champion?
Okay. You know, advice I can give the kids, man, is, you know, don't ever give up. Don't allow somebody to tell you something that you're not capable of doing. I mean, set your goals as high as you possibly can. And, you know, if people don't look at you funny and they don't think they're outlandish, then you're not setting the table, you know, the bar high enough. You know, I tell people all the time, like, you know, I want to be this. And, you know, I made a list every year of the goals I wanted that year. And people thought I was crazy, but I set a goal and I wanted to work as hard as I possibly can. Because at the end of the day, like, anything is possible. Anything is possible if you put your mind to it. So that would be my advice to kids is don't ever give up, and, you know, don't allow anybody to tell you that you can't do something. Just if you put your mind to it, you can achieve it. And my pick for NBA champions.
So it's tough this season.
Yeah, man, it's tough. You know, I still don't want to count the Lakers out because I still think they have a chance to get it going. But
LeBron always turns it on.
Yeah,
he does. Him out.
And, you know, if they don't, I think the Nets are going to be hard to beat if they can get their big three on the court at the same time. But, you know, I hate trying to disrespect the Bucks because, you know, it's hard. Not to mention the defending champion. So, you know, those three teams are the ones I think who have a real solid shot of winning. A lot of people think the Golden State Warriors, but I think that's, you know, to be determined. You know, those guys got to get in a rhythm and in sync with Klay coming back and Draymond and, you know, when they get a big fella back, you know, they might be the most talented team in the NBA. So we'll have to see.
No love for the Suns?
Man, I don't know, man. I'm high on Chris Paul because, you know, you can never count him out. And Devin Booker's, you know, a handful. He's one of the bright spots in, you know, some of the younger guys in the NBA. He's so skilled. So I just think that West is going to be – and, you know, the Wild Wild West is going to be tough to come out of. So, but whoever does –
yeah. Yeah. All right, well, Ronnie, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on today and speak with me. It was a pleasure.
And I appreciate you having me.
Thank you so much. Have a great night, Ronnie.
You too.
Bye.